Let's start with prayer before I get carried away and start joking around. So, Lord, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come together as just a community of Christians, Lord, from across both Galston and Hornsby and beyond, Lord. And I just ask that you continue to build your church, that we can continue to reach further and further through the Bedford, through this awesome venue, Lord, that we can continue to just reach other people, that they can see your glory, they can feel your love, Lord. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. All right, so first up, I'm going to say thank you for the opportunity to come to the Hive. Yeah, this is awesome. We as a church, have done a number of joint services. Hello, Christine. And we've done some joint services with various churches, and I love it because to me, it's one church. And the more we can see one church, the better it is, because it says that's what we're called to do, to be a unity in Christ. And so what a blessing for us to come and visit. So that is awesome. I also want to honour Dave and Eve. They're not only anointed, but they are appointed for such a time as this. I believe as I was looking out here at the cricket nets and stuff like this and just this building, Dave and Eve, I know that they have such a heart for this district. And so what a blessing it is that they've been able to come and merge these you guys together as well. And what a blessing it is to have them come in, because they really are. They're just incredible. Their hearts are so generous. And I know what they've done in terms of leading up to this glorious venue. All right, so I've seen some of that journey before, and to see now this, it's just like, wow. I do concede a hint of jealousy. Looking out this window and that window, I'm going, wow, this is awesome. I love the venue. It's just such a pivotal point, and I believe it is. I think this is a pivotal location for the Hive Church. I really do. That's I think, prophetic. I think that the Hive is going to go really, really, really explosive in this area. Because you're just in the right place at the right time. So thank you to Dave and Eve. I hope you're enjoying your holiday if you happen to listen to this message, because they probably will. So I really hope that they are. They're having a fantastic time away. To Hills Life Church, thanks for coming across the gorge. it is. It was a long walk for Scott, yep. He was here early, so he must have left pretty early in the morning to get here. Yep. No, thanks, guys. Thanks for coming across. It is. It's so such a blessing for me personally to see us come together. I love it. Love it. All right. I normally, when I'm preaching, I normally have this little pivot point in my message so I know where to start my recording. And it's like, last week. But a lot of you guys didn't hear last week's message. But funnily enough, what Dave and Eve gave me as a topic actually links quite well. So he asked me to talk loosely about the local church. And so I'm going to kick off with a very, very quick recap of what we were speaking about last week, which is the fivefold ministry. And you can listen to the podcast if you want to, because we talked about the accident. And there's a whole thing that we went in. It was like, where do you see yourself in the scene? But for those that haven't seen it, it's the five fingers. All right. And it talks about the apostle, which is the thumb, all right, which kind of moves around and has the ability to sort of anoint and appoint. You've got the prophet, the pointing finger, okay, so they kind of, the prophet points the way. You've got the middle finger, all right, which is the longest finger, so that's the evangelist. They have the furthest reach, all right, and I won't do any signs this week, all right. You have the ring finger, which is the commitment, so that's your pastor. Okay, so the pastor that actually gets in and just is able to really just shepherd people, and it's the whole idea of being supporting. And then you've got your pinky, which is the teacher. And if you've ever tried to hold a cup without your pinky, unless you're a tea drinker, all right, but it does, it just gives that support. So it's the theology underneath it all, right? So that's the fivefold ministry. And that's what we were chatting about last week. More than that the promise in the Bible is that each of us are actually not only called, but gifted in one of those areas. So if you're not aware of your calling yet, now it's not just one, you might have multiple. I'm not saying this, the Holy Spirit works however the Holy Spirit works. It's not my dicta, but it's understanding that if you're in church and you're maturing spiritually, then you should be serving in one of these areas within the church. And so the challenge is for our church, right? Where do you tend to find yourself in that picture? And then develop it. Get in. Find out. And just get really dig into it deeply and find out who it is. If you're a prophet, and I've challenged Mum on this, she believes she's got a gift of prophecy. Well, she doesn't actually. She said, well, I saw myself in the picture here. And I said, well, have you got a gift of prophecy? She went, no, I haven't got that. All right, but I'm picking on my mum here. All right, but this is the thing. If you've got a gift of prophecy, read into it. Find out more. You know, just dig deeper, whatever your gifting is. So that's the encouragement. This week, though, I want to talk about the local church, which I know the Hive have got this right, because they don't call it church, they call it the gathering, the ecclesia. Okay, so it's all about coming together as believers. The word actually church, or kirka, is actually of Germanic origin. Okay, so church itself came about later, the word church, and it's actually in some ways deflected what we're called to be. Okay, because the word church actually refers to a venue. It's almost like the Old Testament. We're going back to the temple, like that where the God himself has an address because he's contained in the tabernacle. Right, so it's kind of, we're going back to that, where when you talk about church, it's like coming into a venue, and that's not church at all. Okay, the ecclesia was the gathering of believers that came together. It's not this thing where it's like, oh, let's all arrive to church on Sunday at 9:30 in the morning, pray, worship, walk away, and we've now left church. Well, that's not church. Okay, local church, hey, is the gathering of believers, which is fantastic. We'll talk a bit about that in a minute. But that isn't really what it's all about. When I was preparing for this message, I could have taken two tracks, and I was sort of looking at which way to go, because in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Thank you. You've said that so well this morning. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. The first track that I was going to focus on, has everyone heard of Wren Collective? All right, some of you have, some of you haven't. It's an Irish band, all right, Irish worship band. We are the church. Well, anyway, we should have sang that one this week. All right. We are the church. All right. We personally are the church. Not this building. It doesn't matter what venue you're in. We are the church. And I thought we could go down that track talking about the fact that we are the walking presence of God. So within our sphere of influence, we are actually the carriers of the Holy Spirit into our sphere. Okay, so we're not coming to church. We already are the church. Okay, we are already walking in our, whether we're going to the shops, whether we're going watching cricket, whatever it is, whatever sport you're into, whatever activities you're into, we are the church. Okay, and we are walking around as the very presence of God within our sphere of influence. We are the light of the world. We are a holy priesthood. So the second track, the importance of the ecclesia. So we could talk about, and I'm not going to go there today, about us being the church personally. I'm going to talk about what it is together. The ecclesia, why this is so important. What we as believers can take from this. And a rhetorical question, why go to church? Okay, so I want you to think about that for a second. Why do you come to church? What brings you each weekend to come to church? And I found a study in the US, aptly from Pew Research. All right, so this is, and it captured the top 10 reasons for attending church. So number one, now I want you to appreciate as well, this is an American church. getting signals from someone who's got the hearing aids in. It's hurting his ears. Too loud. Can you still hear that, Richard? Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the top 10 reasons, and this is an American study. Number one, to become closer to God. Okay, so that was 81%. However, even the demographics, the ethnicity was very much skewed by this. Okay, so number one, to become closer to God. Number two, for their children to have a solid moral foundation. People attend a church for their children. That was at 69%. To become a better person, 68%. For comfort in times of trouble or in times of sorrow. For personal, a personal fave here. I've just read that and I was like, oh, hang on. So number five, a personal favourite, because they found value in the sermons. It's like, yeah, come to our church. But number six, to be part of a faith community. Number seven, family tradition. People attend church because of family tradition, or number eight, because of obligation. Top 10 reasons. I go to church because I feel obligated to. It's like, oh, okay, that's kind of getting there. All right, number nine, and this is the people that were honest. All right, so up at number six, it was to be part of a faith community. Number nine, this is the younger crowd, to socialise. All right, be part of a faith community. All right, so, yeah, but just to socialise, right? Or number 10, and I thought this was very, very clever. We go to church to please our spouse. Keep the wife or the husband or the partner happy, all right? So actually, that was 16% of people who were surveyed said, we go to church just to keep our partner happy. All right, so the top 10 reasons. And I thought, and as I said, this research, it broke it down into the ethnicity, it broke it down into age, gender, and you could go all into this. During the same study, they also found the top 9 reasons why people don't go to church. And I thought this was just as interesting. Right? We've heard why people do come to church, some of them probably more righteous than others, I guess. I'm not sure. Like, to be obligated to go to church is like, oh, okay. To socialize, that's okay. But the number one reason for not going to church was I practice my faith in other ways. Now, this was a US research, and so I looked into that one specifically because I thought, well, what does that mean? And they said the majority of people who answered that way professed as Christians, but it was mostly white evangelical women who just didn't feel they fit inside church. I thought that was really interesting. It's like, wow. Okay, number two, obviously, I'm not a believer. I would have thought that was number one, but it wasn't. Number three, no real reason, just don't. Read for that, no relevance. I can't find a reason to attend church. Number four, I haven't found a church that I like. That's, ouch. Number five, this one's not so nice. I don't like the sermons. I prefer the other one. Number six, and this for me is tragic. I don't feel welcome. Right, I arrive at church and I don't feel welcome. I feel judged, or I feel condemned, or I feel that I am not actually welcome in the venue. That's number seven, no time. I just don't have time to commit to going to church every week. Number eight, an inability due to health or mobility. And number nine, and I don't know where in the States this was, there was no place of worship nearby. Yeah, so anyway, so what is church? What is this gathering of people that come together week in, week out? Is it a hospital or a rehab, a place for recovery? Is it a school, an education centre for the good sermons? The moral code? Is it a community centre, a place to socialise? Is it a marriage counselling service where you can please your spouse? Is it somewhere to meet God? A house of prayer and worship? Well, it's all of these things and more. For me, the local church is a place to realign. A regular commitment to refocus, recommit, repent. So repent being metanoia, the renewing of the mind. All right, so to come each week and renew your mind, to just refocus on what actually matters. What are the things this week as I leave that I should be focused on? As opposed to, I've got no time to do anything. Right? No, hang on. Take a bit of just a time just to get in the presence of God and just go, all right. So this one for me, we've got three things we're going to talk about today, which is fellowship, worship, and discipleship. I'm going to try and pull that apart and break each of those three areas down, and then we're going to finish with a final encouragement. So that's where we're heading. So number one, fellowship. So Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We come together, the ecclesia comes together in fellowship because it's about each of us coming together and sharpening each other. It's not about the pastor sharpening you. It's about us sharpening each other. Okay, I need some sharpening myself at times, and that's why last week when we were talking about this, the teachers who come up and they'll challenge me on some of my teachings. Go, are you sure about that? I'm looking at Ken here, all right? He'll come up, he's a teacher, and it's great, I love it. No, but that's, I'm not perfect. As Lorraine was saying earlier, none of us are perfect, all right? So we're all steeped in sin. Okay, so I'm not sitting to go, oh, well, I'm the greatest teacher. No, I'm not, okay? But as we come together as an ecclesia, we get to sharpen each other. Right? And that's so incredibly important. It's got to go both ways. Fellowship is all about getting into the right orbit. Getting into the right gravitational pull. The people we spend time with, when you think about the people in your life, each of them have their own gravitational pull on your time, on your resources, on your finances, on your thoughts. Okay, each and every person that you're dealing with day in, day out has a gravitational pull on you. All right, so you're getting pulled left, right, and center. But if we get into the right fellowship, we get into the right ecclesia, then it helps put us into the right orbit. We get to refocus our gravitational pull. John 17:14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. We are not of the world, but we are in the world. The world doesn't seek to revolve around the sun. S-O-N. Okay? The world encourages you to revolve around yourself. So not being in the world, right, or of the world, not actually being pulled into the gravitational forces of the world means you're not being self-centered. You're not being selfish. Okay, so for me, ecclesia, the first point is fellowship reminds us life's not just about me. Okay? It's actually more than that. That if I get into the right orbit, and my orbit is around the sun, S-O-N, okay, then I start to get on the right path. Okay? And that right path is going to lead me to the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the promises of the Word. As soon as I start to walk away from that, and this is why fellowship's so important, iron sharpening iron. Right? Because one of the first things that happens when you start to walk a little bit into darkness, okay, the first thing you'll see in your life is you start to try to extract yourself from good fellowship. Okay, you actually try to keep those people that are going to speak sense into your life, you try to actually well, just kind of avoid their look, right? Because you know, or you just think they're going to know, all right? So when you start walking off track, that's when you need good fellowship. So point one, we are part of the local church for the right fellowship to realign, to refocus, to recalibrate. Number two, which is back to the orbit analogy, worship. When we're in the right orbit, we're on the right path, we're on the narrow path. God seeks to bless us. All right, he's a loving Father. What you're talking about before, like God is just, he's just love. That is actually what God is. God the Father is just love. He just wants to love on us. But if we're out of his orbit, well then it's harder just to give and gift us with the fruits of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, right? The fruits are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentle. There's nine of them, I know. But okay, so the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, right? All of these things he wants to give us, right? But we can only get that if we're in the right orbit, right? How do you know if you're out of orbit? You've lost your peace. Straight away, if your life right now is not in peace, if you're going, regardless of the situation, okay, Paul and Silas sang hymns in prison. Yay, glory to God, glory to God. All right, we're in prison. We're doing it for God. And they're like, wow. And so they still had peace. They still had joy in prison because they were in the right orbit. Okay, so one of the first things you're going to find, if you're not worshiping and you're not in the right orbit, you're going to find your life doesn't have peace. It's one of the, or patience. Okay, yeah. Confession session, patience, sometimes, okay, that's a, get realigned, get back into church, because Corrie, where's Fletch, yep, Fletch, dude, yeah, he's convicting me, all right. God seeks to bless us. The Bible contains promise after promise about what happens when we're in the right lane, when we're in the right orbit. We come together to worship, to praise, to stand in awe and wonder. Have the extraordinary life that we get to live. Okay, when we're in the right orbit, suddenly our next breath, we appreciate. Ruach, right? The breath of God. We suddenly go, thank you, Lord. Right? We had a pastor before me, Heidi. And sometimes you just go, oh my goodness, because thank you, Lord, for the water. Thank you for the running tap. Thank you because I had a hot shower in the morning. Thank you because I had a towel to dry myself with. Thank you. And you're just like, wow. And it's, but hang on, she's right. What a blessing. We have a towel in the morning. I've got my own little dark grey towel at the moment. All right, it's my towel. Okay, I get to go and I've got my own towel. Wow, hallelujah. Is that being silly? No. When we get to worship, we start to see the extraordinary in what God's doing in our daily lives. And what some things that seem so insignificant and small, well, take them away. Suddenly you'll know how important they are. We need to come with childlike expectation. Our God is a big God. He has authority over all. He is over all illness, financial trouble, relationship trouble. He's over loss. He's over grief. He's over difficulty. He has authority over all. He also has the authority over all opportunity, direction, and beauty. He is the authority. Why do we worship? That's the revelation. It's like, wow, look at this view. It's just like worship. Wow, Lord, you gave the Hive Church this. Wow. Don't take it for granted. If you do, go back to the war memorial. Yeah, now you're going to appreciate it, aren't you? All right, no, but this is the thing, all right? Don't take what you have in your daily lives for granted. Worship, just Lord, thank you. We come together as a gathering, as an ecclesia, because not only does iron sharpen iron, it reminds us to be praise, to worship, to say, Lord, wow, because this week I've had it tough, and they're going, yeah, but you're still walking. You've still got clothes. Did you eat this morning? If not, go and give them a feed, all right? But wow, look at all the blessings you have. We come together to realign, refocus, recalibrate our thoughts over the last week and see where we should be worshiping for the opportunities, the blessings, and even the doors closed. As well as the next week where there's doors going to open. To repent, to renew the mind. Okay, so if we've had a tough week, and I'm not trying to make this, you know, as if a tough week's just whatever. No. I'm not saying that. But to come in and go, Lord, okay, I've had a tough week, but help me renew my mind. Help me refine the beauty in my life. Help me refine what I have that is just an absolute blessing. That's worship. So point one is fellowship. We come together to sharpen each other, to come together as an ecclesia, a gathering that it gets everyone back aligned. And where the alignment is? To worship. Not ourselves, okay? But to worship the Son, S-O-N. Number three, discipleship. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Equipped for every good work. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we, all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Number three, discipleship. A disciple is a learner, a student, willingly submitting under leadership. It's a willing submission. But a disciple is also a teacher. We're being transformed into his image. It says that greater things than these you will see and do. Right, once we're aligned in the right orbit, we should be expecting to do greater things than Jesus. Right, that's not heresy. It's actually in the Bible that we, the church, the modern church, have the opportunity to do greater things. The local church is a gathering of believers, the ecclesia. It's a place of fellowship, a place of worship, and a place of discipleship. But the local church is all about equipping. It's all about us shining God's glory. That we increasingly are being transformed into his image. So to wrap up, I remembered I used to say this a few years back, the takeaway container, the doggy bag. All right, the encouragement. Why are you a part of church? Maybe right now, you're in a season of healing. Okay, you're in church because right now you are. You're in a season where you require just that comfort of the gathering. Right, you've come through something or you're going through something, and right now, yeah, what you need is the hospital. You need the rehabilitation center, and that's awesome because that is what church is about. That is what fellowship's about. If one of you are hurting, we are all hurting. Make that truly a part of church. Not just words. If there's someone in the congregation that's hurting, that's sorrow, that's grieving, that's doing life tough, get together. Come together as a church. Not just the little church, but the church, the big church. We're called to get around those in our congregation, and we're called to offer that support and that encouragement. Maybe church is a place of socializing. It's a community gathering. Maybe it's an obligation, a duty. Maybe you come to keep your spouse happy. I'm not going to look at my wife. Can I challenge you? If you come to church just to socialize, or just to keep someone happy, or because you feel obligated, can I challenge you to dig deeper? Because each and every one in this room has been uniquely gifted. You're in this congregation for a reason, and you're in this congregation in season. You have value, you have something to offer. Every single person in the congregation, regardless of age. Okay, I saw a couple of younger kids at the back. Right, you know what? If all they're here for is to bring joy and a childlike wonder, hallelujah, let them run around, let them make noise, let them do stickers. You should see our church, it's bedlam. Okay, that's, who cares? That's awesome. No, that's not permission, Fletch. Right? But that, do you know what I mean? Like, or every single person in the congregation is uniquely gifted for such a time as this. God sees something in each and every one of us that can be a blessing, not just within church, but in our sphere. Find it. If you're not sure where it is right now, if you're sitting there going, and as I said, if you're right now in rehab and you're just here for hospital, hey, no, embrace it. Use that season. Okay, it's a time of healing. You need to. There's nothing wrong with healing before you go out and try to help others. Hey, no, heal. Get that opportunity. Just sit in His presence. Just have that Holy Spirit moment where you're washed over and you go, yes, Lord, I feel full. Right, the fruit of the Spirit is the abundance. It's the overflow. Okay, so when you start to feel full and you're back and you're saying, yes, Lord, I feel your presence. Yes, Lord, now is the time to worship. And worship is not this. Hallelujah. All right, worship is acts of service. Worship is more than just putting your hands up in a congregation and singing on a Sunday morning. That's not worship. It's part of worship, but that's not the entirety of worship. Worship is more. Dig deeper, find your unique spiritual gift, find your unique ministry and calling, and bring it. Maybe church is a place of worship. It's a place to be in the presence of God, and that's true. But to actually worship, it's more. We are called to increasingly seek to be like Jesus himself. Jesus didn't come to sit in a synagogue. He got out there. He was out. Jesus came, he washed feet. He didn't come to serve. Oh, sorry, he didn't come to be served, but to serve. All right? So for us, the challenge as the local church, ecclesia, the gathering of believers, it's awesome. It's great to come together. It's great to have a time of fellowship. It's great to have a time of worship and this corporate worship where we get to go together and we just get to get in that presence. That's awesome. And Sunday mornings is awesome. That's all it is. It's Sunday morning. All right, Jesus spent the rest of the week doing the works. And that's what we're called to do, each and every one of us, to be the light of the world. The city on the hill that cannot be hidden. Your entire life. And I've challenged Rosie, couldn't make it today, but Rosie, I love doing this to Rosie because it's even in traffic, we're called to be the light of the world. Anyone convicted of that one, huh? Okay. No, I'm not. No. No, I'm pretty good in traffic. All right. We're called to be the light of the world. Be the light. Shine God's glory wherever your orbit is. Okay, so whatever orbit you're on, you keep focused on the sun, S-O-N. Allow that orbit to shine His glory. Not your own. It's not about you, right? But it's Him shining through you. Allow your gravitational pull to actually point to the sun, S-O-N, Jesus. Okay, so when people see you, it's not about you. You're actually pointing to Jesus. Okay, just, no, don't look at me. This is the guy. This is the one I want to give glory to. Let them see that in your worship, in your fellowship, right, in the discipleship. That God shine his glory in your life so that each and every one of us become the New Testament tabernacle. Okay, I want you to think about that. The Holy Spirit himself has made his home in us. We are, each and every one of us, a tabernacle walking in our sphere of influence. Okay, we get to shine his glory. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I just welcome your presence, Lord, in each and every one of us, that we have a new revelation, Lord. That we can absolutely shine your glory, that it just deflects from us and straight to you, Lord. That we're your mirror. That we're your tabernacle, Lord, and we can absolutely impact positively the lives of those around us. I pray, Lord, that the tabernacle is just broken through and that glory just shines. It fills our sphere of influence. There is no doubt, Lord, that each and every one in the room today, there is no doubt that they are a walking, shining, glorious ambassador for Christ. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look here.